Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Art Bell. He's the author of Constant Comedy, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor. Art, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you, Christopher. It's nice to be here.
It's very rare when you meet people that you can just think of an institution, a show, in your case, Comedy Central, as I talked to you prior to our podcast starting, that it just puts a big smile on my face. And for that to happen is pretty amazing. So let's just dive in. First of all, kudos on your book title in terms of how you started this Comedy Central and then you lost your sense of humor. Let's just first start with how you started Comedy Central.
Well, I was a comedy nerd as a kid. I loved comedy. And I watched as much comedy as I could. I listened to my parents' albums, comedy albums. And then when I got to high school, I started writing some satire. We started an underground newspaper with some friends of mine called The Tongue and wrote satire for it. I was fascinated. I kept up my love of comedy right through college and even in grad school, where I wrote the musical comedy at Wharton Grad School called The Wharton Follies. And that was a great thing for me because it reminded me how much I love comedy. So when I came out of grad school, I wanted to get into the television business. And I looked around and said, man, there's too bad there's not a comedy network, because there is a music network and there is a sports network and there is a news network. Why no all comedy network? So I tucked that in the back of my mind and thought about it a lot when I got into the business. And when I went to work at HBO, I pitched it.
And is this in New York or LA?
This is in New York.
And how long ago was this?
Well, Comedy Central is 30 years old this year. Comedy Central was originally Comedy Channel that I launched at HBO. And that launched a year plus before. And then what happened is Comedy Channel, which was HBO's entry, merged with a competitor that showed up from MTV Networks 6 months after we launched Comedy Channel, and they told us to merge the channels, come up with a new name, and start all over again.
Interesting.
So that's what we did. And you know, let me tell you something, the merger of two completely different networks and with different perspectives on comedy and two completely different corporate cultures was as challenging as anything I've been up against in business.
So not only did you pitch the idea, you actually led it as well in the early days?
Well, I wouldn't say led it in the early days, and because at the beginning, when I pitched it, I was a marketing analyst. I'd been hired at HBO because of my economics chops. I had done econometric modeling in Washington, D.C. for 3 years at a consulting firm, and then went back to business school. So HBO was looking for someone to do a forecasting model for their subscribers, and that's how I got that job. But I figured, if I got to HBO, at least I'd be closer to the product. And HBO was pretty new then. It was a very exciting place to work.
Yeah. Let's talk. I just have one more question and then we'll dive into your book. So everyone might have an idea, but they don't do it. So you're literally like the Ted Turner, because Ted Turner created CNN and now we have essentially cable news. And in your case, Comedy Central is such a phenomenal thing. So do you feel that you had the chutzpah already? Because again, you said you're an analyst. A lot of people have ideas, especially in the world we live in now. Everyone thinks they have the next Facebook, and maybe they have it, right? But in your case, you actually did it and you followed up. So any suggestions for our listeners? Our listeners are primarily entrepreneurs and aspiring entrepreneurs. Any suggestions like, okay, you had an idea and you pitched it. Did you have a very clear script you share with the executive, or were you rejected 16,000 times? Like talk to us about that initial thought in your mind, and then you pitched it, and then you had to follow through to actually make it happen, make it a reality.
Okay, well, that's a good question. I will say that Constant Comedy, the book, is a 305-page answer to that question.
You got 3 minutes, my friend.
I'm not going to read the whole book to you. I pitched the concept of an all-comedy network to the head of HBO programming. Her name was Bridget, and I had no background in comedy, no background in programming. I just thought it was a good idea, and I worked at HBO, so she said it was the worst idea she ever heard. She told me why. Nobody wants to watch that much comedy. There's plenty of comedy on television already. And we wouldn't get any decent comedians to be on the channel. And she basically threw me out of her office. I mean, not physically, but that's how it started. And it took me a while to get the idea in front of the chairman of HBO. His name was Michael Fuchs. He's a big part of the book. And I was taken into his office by my boss at the time, who knew I was thinking about this, knew I had written it up. And I'd written it up because I wanted to pitch it to some other entertainment companies, because HBO said they wouldn't do it. Bridget said they wouldn't do it. And I figured, okay, I'll go somewhere else, get a job there, and maybe they'll do it. But my boss found me doing, you know, in the process of getting my resume out, said, what's this? I showed him. He said, hey, I think Michael Fuchs ought to see this. We walked into his office at that moment. Now, I had no presentation materials. I had not prepared anything. And I pitched it to Michael Fuchs extemporaneously. 15 minutes later, he said, yeah, sounds like an interesting idea. Let's see if we can get it going. And that's how it started.
That's phenomenal, Art. I want to break it down for listeners, because I actually wrote a book on networking with billionaires and executives, and it's based on science. You have a closed network, which is the people you know in your neighborhood, on your phone, at your church, your community, and you have an open network where you literally have to have these giants, the head of such and such, or in this case, the chairman. How did you even get a meeting with them? Because if you said you're an analyst, was it that new that you can just walk into the office with these higher ups?
No, that's my point. Let me just tell you something about Michael Fuchs. 2 weeks before I walked into his office, he was on the front cover of the New York Times Magazine. And the headline on the cover was, Michael Fuchs is the most powerful man in Hollywood. And the reason they said that was because he was the most powerful man in Hollywood. He was really setting prices for movies, making movies. He was doing it all. So you got to imagine, I was I wasn't even an executive. If I got in the elevator with Michael Fuchs accidentally, I would break into a sweat. The reason I got into his office is because it was my boss, it was actually my boss's boss, just to complicate it slightly. My boss's boss was a senior vice president and knew Michael personally. And he said, come on, let's go see Michael. That was the only way I was going to get in. As a matter of fact, we walked in, Michael was kind of, I wouldn't say pissed off, but he was like, what are you guys doing here without an appointment?
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. I will share one story and then dive into your book, because I used to work for American Express. This is 20 plus years ago. I wrote a book and I thought, oh, I'm just going to stroll up to the chairman's office. Actually, the CEO at the time, his name is Ken Chenault. This is like literally 20 years ago. I borrowed my friend's security card. So essentially I was trespassing on private property because I wasn't an employee. I took his access card, which he should not have had because he could have been fired. When I got to the chairman, the CEO office, literally as soon as I got up there, I said, hi, sir, I'm a former employee at American Express. I want to just drop off this manuscript to see if perhaps Mr. Chenault can give a testimonial. And the first thing he said, he held out his hands like, who are you? How'd you get here? And literally he escorted me down to security, and ultimately it was not a good thing. Anyway, the point of the story is, listen to what Art does, which is, if you have an idea, you find a person that ideally is friends with that person in the higher ups. Otherwise, you'll be like me, getting escorted out or perhaps even getting jailed. So let's dive into your book, Art. Love the title. Why did you choose to write the book now? I mean, as you said, Comedy Central has been around for 30 plus years. It's such a powerful thing. Jon Stewart and Trevor Noah are two of my favorite comedians. Why did you choose to write this now?
Well, I didn't actually set out to write it at all. I was in the television business for a long time until relatively recently. It was around 2015 or 16, maybe 17, that I was ending my career as a consultant. The last round was consulting to television. And I decided I wanted to write. I'd been doing some writing through the years on various projects, but I'd never written prose, you know, like in a book or a memoir. So I decided to write some memoir, and that's what I did. I took some classes at Sarah Lawrence Writing Institute, which is just outside of New York, and wrote memoir. Had a fun time writing memoir, learned a lot about writing, and then one day I wrote a story about Comedy Central, something that happened to me there. And everybody in the class said, wow, we didn't know you did that. That's really interesting. Why don't you write some more of that stuff? So I said, okay, and I did. And then I realized after a while that I had a bunch of stories and I really had a great adventure at Comedy Central. And I said, this will make an interesting memoir. And so that's what I did. I wrote it as a memoir. And so it's not only the story of Comedy Central, but it's a story of, first of all, life in a corporation, especially in a corporation where creativity meets business imperatives. And that's a very interesting place to be, I have to say. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of fighting between the so-called talent and the suits about what the right way to do a comedy network is, or the right way to do anything at a television network. The other thing is I did weave some of my early memoir through it. I wanted people to get some sort of idea of where I'd come from, how much I loved comedy and what I did as a kid. So I put in some relevant stories, not a lot, some relevant stories from my childhood.
Cool. And Art, why did you call it Constant Comedy?
Well, the idea of launching a 24-hour network, which now sounds kind of like, okay, everybody launches 24-hour comedy network. I'm sorry, 24-hour networks. There's lots of them. There's lots of different kinds. So what's the big deal? But in those days, there were only a handful of networks. And when I launched it, I realized at the end of the first day that we had to come back the next day and do it all over again. And that for the rest of our lives, we were going to have to shovel comedy into the maw of this giant comedy thing. And it was daunting, but that's what it was. Constant comedy. Comedy 24 hours a day. All comedy, all the time.
Sounds like a great motto. Just for context sake, in case our listeners, if they're under 40 years old, just so that they know, in the 1990s, there was no internet relative to what we know it. There was no iPhone, there was no Instagram, Facebook, even MySpace. So for the listeners and their viewers, just so you know that, Art, you're a pioneer. And though it's, oh yeah, of course, there's cable news all over the place, but where you were at the time, clearly was it was a pioneer idea. So kudos to you. Now let's talk about your title again. We have a few more minutes. Why did you choose to say, okay, you started it, Comedy Central, but now you lost your sense of humor? Was that more, do you believe that? Or tell us about the loss. No,
of course I didn't lose my sense of humor forever. what I was referring to, and the reason I subtitled it, How I Started Comedy Central and Lost My Sense of Humor, is because I wanted people to know, especially you mentioned people under 40, that Comedy Central was not successful from day one. It was not shot out of a cannon as this huge cultural icon of comedy. It was pretty much a failure in its first year. I mean, it was not going well at all. And Michael Fuchs, whom I mentioned before, called me in about 4 months into it. And this is after getting creamed by the press as, it's not funny, what are they doing? This is a disaster. Michael called me in and he said, you know, it took a comedy channel to make me lose my sense of humor. And I thought of that at the moment, realizing I wasn't laughing either. And that's what it refers to. I mean, it was just very, very serious business at that moment.
That's awesome. Art, I want to thank you for being on our show. And I want our listeners, hopefully, to really buy your book, but also just your title. People always ask me how to communicate better. Just your title, there's four alliterations. There's Constant Comedy, Comedy Central. You have How and Humor. You have Since and Started. All these various alliterations. And then the contrast of you, again, how you started something and then lost. So for our listeners, I hope you really take Art Bell's lesson to heart. Art, how can our guests learn from you and read your book?
Well, I have a website, artbellwriter.com. They can learn more about me and my book and see some of my other writing as well. And if you want Constant Comedy, you can certainly go to your local bookstore, or you can go to Amazon and find Constant Comedy there.
Awesome. Art, thank you so much for being on the show. Have a great day.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.